Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, Text 11, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of ISKCON. Sri Prarada Uvacha. Had such deep understanding of Krishna consciousness that his teachings even today are heard and repeated by great philosophers. His teachings, that Prabhupada made one book, Transcendental Teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. So he had a very deep understanding of Vaishnava philosophy, which means philosophy. Philosophy means to understand Krishna. So Vaishnava philosophy is philosophy. So he had a very deep understanding. He knew everything, but still he was surprised. He knew that those who are not Krishna conscious are in Maya. Nate vidu, he himself said, Nate vidu swatagatin hi Vishnu. Durasha ye bahiratamanina. Those who do not know that the goal of life is Vishnu, they are misled by the external energy, therefore they hope against hope to be happy in this material world. Prahlad Maharaj knew this, and he gave some very strong comments about the nature of material life. That yam grihamedi sukham tucham. This is Prahlad Maharaj's instruction that happiness in this material world is based on family life, which is based on sex life, which is just like an itching. You feel some itching, you want to indulge it. But just like itching, if you tolerate it, then you can overcome that sensation. Whereas if you scratch it, then the pain becomes worse. So Prahlad Maharaj had a very deep understanding of all these philosophical points. Still, he was surprised that his teachers, who were learned scholars, very highly learned brahmanas. Brahmana means, here is stated, they're supposed to be pandit. So a pandit is supposed to be vidya vinaya sampane brahmane gavihastini shuni chaiva shvapagecha pandita samadarshinaha. A pandit, one who is learned, is supposed to see equally a brahmana, a cow. Hastini means elephant, female elephant. Dog and a dog eater, because who is a pandit, he is supposed to be vidya vinaya sampanna, means he has the qualities of knowledge and humility. Generally, those who have knowledge, they become puffed up. They think, I know so many things. I'm PhD, MSc, or I know so many different things. But vidya dadati vinayam, actually real knowledge is supposed to bring humility. So these two things, vidya and vinaya, knowledge and humility, are supposed to go together. Because real knowledge means to understand Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'm His eternal servant. Krishna is so great and I'm so tiny and so small. So actual knowledge means that one should become humble. Even Srila Prabhupada, he appreciated Isaac Newton, who at that time was an ocean of knowledge by the knowledge that was known in the Western world at that time. He was the most learned person. So naturally people used to look up to him as a highly learned person. But he said that as far as I'm concerned, my vision is that all of the knowledge is just like a vast beach of sand. And I have just taken a few grains. So Prabhupada appreciated that. That Lord Brahma, he said the same thing. That he thought he had some understanding of Krishna. But when Krishna bewildered him, that's called Brahma Vimohana Leela, same word is used here, Vimohit, bewildered. When Krishna bewildered him, then he admitted, Actually, I thought I was very intelligent, but I really don't understand anything about Krishna. Others may say they know about Krishna. Jananta eva janantu kimba huktyang chame prabho. Others may say, I know so much about Krishna, but as far as I'm concerned, I must admit, I don't know anything about Krishna. He's so great. So real knowledge means to bring humility. And Shanda and Amarka, they were highly learned brahmanas. They were teaching the supposed master of the universe. Hiranyakashipu thought that he was the master of the universe. Actually, Jagannath is the master of the universe. That is his name, Jagannath. Hiranyakashipu was allowed to play for some time his game of being master of the universe. Just like, you see, sometimes the cat catches the mouse and then again lets it go. And the mouse thinks, now I'm free. And the cat just watches it and then pulls it back again. So like this, sometimes the material energy allows living beings to play their game. I am prime minister. I am big, powerful business magnate for some time. And then again, next life, you become a dog or a cat or some insignificant creature. Anyway, you're insignificant. But some game is there. I am so important. God save the king. In England they have this national anthem of England. Now there's a queen. God save the queen. Of course the queen won't be saved. She'll die. And then they'll bring someone else. God save the king. And then who can save him? No one can save him. He'll die also. And king this life, dog the next life. So this is the nature of the material energy. Everyone thinks himself very important. Hiranyakashipu was important for the time being. So he engaged the best teachers for his son. Why should he engage any less than the best? The most learned brahmanas to teach important subjects to Prahlad Maharaj, especially for the son of a demon like Hiranyakashipu, the most important subject was politics, which wasn't just like nowadays people go to university, they study political science. But it's just all theory. But the Kshatriyas and even the, not even Kshatriyas, but the demons here, politicians, sons of politicians, they were taught Sama Bheda Dana Danda, the four principles, very simple. There you can get all political science in four words. Well, this is described in the, which Shastra is that? Political teachings, Kautilya has given, that Sama means some enemy is there. Politics means there must be enemies. So, how to pacify them? Just go out to them and say, well, don't make so much protests. Be nice, cooperate. Don't worry, everything will be all right. That doesn't usually work. Because political enemies, they're political enemies because they want to take power themselves. They'll say, for the people. For the people, by the people. They have so many slogans. All the way with LBJ. That was Lyndon Bernard Johnson. When I remember as a child, he was running for election. He won. He became president of America. So his slogan was, all the way with LBJ. Very intelligent. Doesn't really say anything. But anyway, he got elected on that slogan. So try and pacify the people. If that doesn't work, divide and rule. This is diplomacy. That your enemies are there. So you go to one of you send someone to them and just plant it in their mind that who is cooperating with you against the present incumbent king, actually he has his own, he's doing something against you also. And implant doubts in their minds. And in this way, turn them against each other. Because if your opposition is united, then it's strong. But if it's divided against itself, divided amongst itself, then it's very weak. So Sama, Veda, Dana. If that doesn't work, then give a bribe. Who's against you? Tell them, don't be against me. Why don't you become my minister in my government? Because mostly they're against you, they want to take your position because they want to stick the money in their pocket. That's what politics, they want to take position for their own personal benefit. So if you convince them, look, I'm in charge here, I know you want to get something, so you also take a position, let's be friends, let's not work against each other. You also take some of the shares of the exploitation of the people. So sambhed, dana, and danda. If that doesn't work, danda means stick. Beat them. So this is politics, and this is especially what Hiranyakashipu wanted Prahlad Maharaj to learn. When Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad Maharaj, what is the best thing you have learned? So he was hoping that Prahlad Maharaj would say, well, how to send spies and give different plans to upset the people so they won't be against you, and political trickery. Prahlad Maharaj broke his hard heart by saying, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam, Iti Pungsakrita Vishnu Bhaktis Chainavalakshana Kriyeta Bhagavatyata Tanyanyi Dhitamutamam. Prahlad said, I think the best thing that I have learned is hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, remembering him, serving his lotus feet, worshipping him in the temple, offering prayers to him, becoming his servant, becoming his friend, and surrendering everything to him. So this was not very pleasing to Hiranyakashipu, because Hiranyakashipu was always thinking of Lord Vishnu as his greatest enemy. He had a very strong sense of enmity. And naturally, as a demon, he was inimical to Lord Vishnu, but especially because Lord Vishnu had killed his brother, Hiranyaksha. On the behalf of Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha had gone out into the world fighting and conquering. So even among the demons, there's some friendship based on exploitation of others. And Hiranyakashipu, even though he was a demon, he had some feeling in his heart for Prahlad, that my son, I love him so much, I want him to be a big demon like me. So let him be trained in politics, diplomacy, how to suppress others, how to take control, rule over the citizens with an iron fist. So Prahlad Maharaj disappointed him. He is saying, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. What was he saying? This is beneficial for everybody. Everybody should hear about Lord Vishnu. He wasn't saying anything bad. What he was saying is for the supreme benefit of everybody. But because his father, Hiranyakashipu, was a demon, he didn't like to hear that thing, even which was for his greatest benefit. That is the nature of a demon. If you tell him that you just worship Krishna, then you'll be free from all kinds of suffering. You can live happily with Krishna, dancing with Krishna, singing with Krishna, eating with Krishna, playing with Krishna. He'll say, no, I don't want to do that. You'll rather go to hell. Let me suffer in hell. I will suffer repeated birth and death, but I won't surrender to Krishna. I have to keep my sense of independence to show that I am free from any influence. I don't have to be under anyone's control. This is the demoniac mentality. Even though he's controlled at every moment, he says, I want to be free. I don't want to be controlled, but he's controlled. Try saying, I don't want to be controlled, but you're controlled. When you have to go past stool, you have to go. You can't control it. That means you are controlled by material nature. You're controlled that you have to die. You're under the laws of material nature. But foolishly, the demons like to think that I am independent. Therefore, they think in terms of friend and enemy. How do they think in terms of friend and enemy? For the devotee, everyone is his friend. Brahma bhuta prasannatma na shochati na kaṅkṣati samasarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim bhavate param. One who is on the transcendental platform, he doesn't hanker for anything, he doesn't desire anything, he doesn't lament for anything. He sees all living beings as equally, as parts and parcels of Krishna. Therefore he attains the devotional service. But a non-devotee thinks everything in terms of his own sense gratification. Therefore, he makes friends and enemies. Who is a friend for a demon? Someone who can help me in my plans for sense gratification. And who is my enemy? Someone who's trying to obstruct my plans. Everyone in this material world has so many plans for sense gratification. And when someone makes more elaborate plans, he becomes more of a demon. So this friends and enemies, that is conceived in terms of sense gratification. You'll see mostly friends, what is it? It's just some mutual arrangement that I can get something from you, you can get something from me. But there's no actual caring. Krishna is the actual friend and devotee is their actual friend. Krishna, he states, or that's stated about him. Suhrit Satam, he is the very best friend, especially of the devotees who hear his messages. He cleanses the heart of material desire. Nashta prayesha abhadresha nityam bhagavata sevya bhagavata tamashloke bhakti bhavati naishtihi. That whoever hears about Krishna regularly, then Krishna vidhunoti suhrit satam. He cleanses the heart of those who hear his messages. So Krishna is our very good friend. Such a good friend that he doesn't give us up. This is real friendship. That even though we have rejected Krishna life after life, Krishna is making propaganda. He comes himself and speaks Bhagavad Gita. He sends devotees like Prahlad Maharaj to speak this message. In so many ways he's making propaganda to remember him. And again we are rejecting him. But again and again after rejecting him, if we one time take a little interest in him, if we take one step towards Krishna, he'll take 100 steps towards us. Such a good friend. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if someone is trying to be friendly to you and you spurn them? No. Not interest. Not only spurn, you may not only reject them and neglect them, you may call them bad names. So will someone continue to be your friend? You're trying to be their friend. They reject you. Then again, they come. You reject them. And again, over thousands of lifetimes, someone's trying to be your friend. And no, reject. So normally someone would become angry, or at least they'd give up. Why should I bother with such a person? But Krishna is such a good friend that even though we are rejecting him, again and again and again, he's always ready to accept us. He never rejects us. He's always trying to bring us to him. Therefore, he is called Suhrit Satam. Suhrit means the best kind of friend. In Sanskrit, there are different words for friend. Mitra means a general friend, well-wisher. Bandhu means good friend. Good. And Suhrit means heart to heart. Someone who will give himself for you. So that much friendship, very close bondage. So that is Krishna's friendship. And in the material world, friendship that can turn to enmity at any moment. Especially we see in money matters. This happens commonly. There are two friends, and then one lends the other person some money, or he trusts him with some money. And the other one thinks, hey, this money is better than that friendship. Let me keep it. That happens so many times. Sometimes we have a look at the Kali Yuga Purana, namely the newspaper, to see what's going on in the world. That Prabhupada said the newspaper means what all the demons are doing. So I was seeing in England there was there were two cases of lottery winning. Know what this lottery is? Do they have that in this country? It's one kind of gambling. So there was this joint Pakistani family living in England. So Pakistani family means generally joint family. That means brothers, aunts, uncles, elders, children, all living together. And whatever money comes, the young man, even though he's married himself, he'll give that to his... I don't know if they still do this in joint families, but it used to be this. I still know some families in India who do this. Even the son's married He has children, but whatever he earns, he gives to his father and mother, and they share out, they manage all the money like that. So everything is shared. Joint family means everything shared. It's actually a very good system, much better than this nuclear family. It's based on selfishness. So this one man, he won the lottery. Young man. And then he took off from the joint family. He was there, he had his wife and one child. He won the lottery, and then they didn't want to be part of the joint family. They didn't want to share their £1,000,000 with all the other members of the family. So they won the money, but they broke the hearts of all their family members, who thought, we loved him all his life, we looked after him in so many ways, and now he's just rejected us. And again, there was a case that one man, he bought this lottery ticket and gave it to his girlfriend to look after, his girlfriend he was supposed to marry. Then he saw, he checked the numbers, I won £1,000,000. So then he asked his girlfriend, okay, she said, oh, forget it, I got the ticket in my pocket. I'm keeping the money, you can go wherever you like. So this is friendship in the material world. As long as you can get something from someone else, take it. But if you get the opportunity, take their money. That came up in Back to Godhead magazine also recently. Rohini Nandan Prabhu was saying that in preaching, he was giving some lecture. He was speaking on these points, and some young people in the audience, those who were listening, they were saying, no, in this material world, we have our, there were a group of three friends sitting there, and they were saying, no, we're very good friends. We like it. We're not just out to get something. We just like each other. We're good friends. So then Rohini Nandan said to one of them, he said, if I gave you £10,000, would you kill your friend? And the other friend, the look on his face was, no, of course not. And the other one, he didn't say anything immediately. He thought about it. Maybe he would. And the other friend, then he realized, actually, maybe he would kill me for £10,000. Maybe he would. In India, £10,000, you can kill half the population of India for £10,000. You can kill from as little as 500 rupees. Depends who you're killing. If it's a big shot, maybe you have to spend 5,000 rupees. Killing's cheap. Anyway, this is friendship in the material world, that if you go a little deeper, you find there's no basis to that. Simply sense gratification. And therefore, Prahlad Maharaj was surprised that even though he knows, he himself is speaking very strongly about these points, but when you actually see it, still it's shocking. We know that, just like death, we know death will come. Even as devotees, we discuss death regularly. But still we're shocked. That is the nature of the material energy. That even you know what is its nature, still the material nature is so powerful that when we come in contact with the more elaborate manifestations of the material energy, we become shocked. Or someone dies. We're surprised and we're shocked. If an older person dies, maybe not so much, but for a younger person, we're shocked. But then, of course, so many people are dying every day, and everyone has to die. But if someone, especially if a young person dies, we're shocked. Because we expect that a young person will go on living at least till 60 or 70 years, but sometimes, boom, just like that, just gone. Or if you see someone in very good health, you don't think they're going to die, but they can die at any moment. You don't know. Many times it happened. Someone's moving around. This happened. We were in the home of one gentleman in Bangladesh, and his wife was very happy we came and serving prasadam and so on. Heart attack. She's dead. Just like that. Everyone was shocked because she's full of life and enthusiasm. Boom. Gone. We don't expect it. No one ever expects it. But death comes. It's shocking. So Prahlad Maharaj was shocked. Even though he's a learned scholar and a great devotee, he was shocked to see these people. They're very intelligent. They're brahmanas, means, even though they were smarter brahmanas, it means they must have been following some rituals for purification and taking so many things, mantras and tantras and yantras and mudras and so many things they're following. But their ultimate goal was simply sense gratification. Therefore, they saw in terms of friends and enemies. So Prahlad Maharaj was surprised. How powerful is this material energy? Material energy is so powerful that even Krishna himself sometimes becomes surprised at how powerful his energy is. That Prabhupada wrote in Krishna book, he was talking about Aghasura, big demon Aghasura, his big snake. Agha means sinful. So he's, anyway, Asura means sinful, but he was very sinful. So his name was Agha, means sinful. Just like in different languages, their names are there. In Sanskrit, there are names like Shobha, Sundari, these are Kshama, these are women's names, which means auspicious, beautiful, tolerant. So the name for this demon was Agha, means sinful, just suitable for him. So he had a big mouth, this snake demon. Big, big mouth, so big, that it went right up to the clouds. And Krishna's friends saw that, and they thought, oh, here's a demon, come to kill us. Python doesn't go chasing after his prey, but whenever anyone comes close to him, python just sits in one place, and whenever any animal comes close to him, he just catches them. He doesn't bother going here and there. Just catches someone that comes. So the demon was like this, with his mouth open. And the cowherd boys thought, this is a demon. They knew it was a demon. Fishy smell coming from his mouth. So they thought, he wants to kill us. That's fun. Krishna's here. So many demons came before. Krishna will look after us. So let's go and see what's going on. And they all marched into his mouth. And Krishna himself was surprised that my external energy is so strong that even they know that he's a demon and they just walk into his mouth. So even Krishna was surprised. Of course, his external energy, the external energy is an expansion of the internal energy, and the devotees are mahatmanastumam partha daiving prakritim ashritaha. The pure devotees, they're always under the protection of the internal energy. Sometimes the internal energy works through the external energy, which is manifestation of the internal energy. And Krishna himself was surprised at how this external energy is so powerful. Sometimes we see the workings of the external energy, maya, how there's some big hurricane or big, big storm. I don't think you get here, but certainly in Bengal, every year there's 2-3 cyclones, very powerful. You know, or even not a cyclone, in the summer, they have what's called Boishaki Jor, means one storm comes all day. It's very, very hot. It gets hotter and hotter and hotter. And at 5 o'clock approximately, then some wind starts to blow. And then all of a sudden, there's this tremendous wind and rain, and it lasts a maximum 10 minutes. But if you're standing inside your watch, all these trees will blow down, and the thatch of the roofs will come off. Tremendous storm. And then the cyclone comes. Tremendous rain, and you'll see the buildings collapse under the rain. And it's quite spectacular to see all these things. This is the material energy. So powerful. So powerful. Everyone is under the control. Even the powerful controllers of this world, they are controlled by the external energy. Very powerful. Because material energy is getting power from Krishna to work as the shadow potency of Krishna. Srishti, Stiti, Pralaya, Sadhana, Shakti, Reka, Chayeva, Yasya, Bhuvanani, Vibharati, Durga, Ichana, Rupam, Api, Yasya, Chacheshta, Tesa, Govindamadi, Purusham, Tamaham, Majami. The external energy called Maya, she takes power from Krishna to be the superintendent of this material world, and all the functions of creation, maintenance, and destruction go on under her superintendence. Under her superintendence means she works as the shadow energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the ultimate overseer and controller of everything. But this Maya is very, very powerful. Surprisingly, we are surprised at the power of this Maya. That and we think, how can we conquer over Maya? It seems very, very difficult. It is very difficult because that potency is more powerful than us. We are very, very tiny living beings. But we can overcome that potency of Maya if we take shelter of Krishna. Devi Hesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratyaya Mameva Ye Prabandyante Mayametam Tarantite. This Maya is very, very powerful, very difficult to overcome. Very difficult. It's not possible by karma, jnana, or yoga. It's not possible to overcome Maya. But one who surrenders to Krishna can easily. One endeavor, even by performing great austerities in the yoga system, or even by studying so many books and theoretically imagining that I am not this body, it's very difficult to overcome Maya because we are very small. But if we take shelter of Krishna, then it becomes very easy to cross over Maya by Krishna's strength, by taking strength from Krishna. So this Maya is so powerful that even great learned scholars like Shanda and Amarka, they're very learned, they're following Vedic rituals, but still they were completely under the grip of the material energy. Even though they were Vedic scholars, they were under the grip because they couldn't understand what is the meaning of the Vedas because they didn't have an attitude of devotion to Krishna. Therefore, they were in this, despite their Vedic learning, they were still in the same position as a dog or a cat or even an ordinary person who has no knowledge of the Vedic literature. You would expect an ordinary man to be like this, friends, enemies, but you wouldn't expect a highly learned Vedic scholar to think in such terms. You would think that by his Vedic learning, he would become more advanced. But even Vedic learning will not make you advanced in spiritual life unless you have the attitude of surrender to Krishna. Even if you learn all the Vedas, unless we have an attitude of surrender to Krishna, we won't understand a word of them. And we see them. There's so many Mayavadis, they can quote Shastra inside out, upside down. There's almost literally. There's one famous guru in India. His disciples, they can chant, you can go to them and ask, recite this chapter of Bhagavad Gita. They'll recite it, and then if you want, they recite it all backwards also. They know it all. And they know all the Bhagavad Gita inside out, upside down. But they don't know Bhagavad Gita at all. They have no, people will think they're great scholars of Bhagavad Gita, but they don't know anything about Bhagavad Gita. They have absolutely no understanding of Bhagavad Gita. They can recite like a parrot. You can train a parrot also to chant Bhagavad Gita. Does that mean that the parrot is a great scholar of Bhagavad Gita? Actually, maybe the parrot has more knowledge of Bhagavad Gita than these Mayavadis because it has no knowledge. Whereas the Mayavadis, they have perverted knowledge. They're in the minus position. The parrot's still in the zero position. Didn't go anywhere. But the Mayavadis, they, by studying Bhagavad Gita, which is meant to bring us close to Krishna, they have gone further away from Krishna by blaspheming Krishna in the name of Bhagavad Gita. And they will offer their respects to Krishna. We offer our respects to you, who are a manifestation of the impersonal Brahman, or whatever ideas they think. Even though in Gita itself, Krishna very clearly smashes their nonsense ideas. Brahmano hi pratishtaham. I am the substance, I am the origin, I am the establisher of that impersonal Brahman, Krishna very clearly says. And for those who think that Krishna is simply a manifestation of the impersonal Brahman, Krishna very clearly says, avyaktam vyaktim apanam manyante mama buddhayaha. If anyone thinks that my personality is manifested from the impersonal, unmanifest, Krishna very clearly says he's a fool. He doesn't put it in any euphemistic term. He says very clearly, abuddhiyaha, no brain. But there they are, they're studying Bhagavad Gita. inside out, upside down, back to front. And they have the conclusion that we offer our respect, we are very devoted to Krishna, who after all isn't a person anyway. So like this, their consciousness is polluted and contaminated, therefore even though they study the Vedas, they cannot understand anything. And their studying of the Vedas becomes for them a heavy weight to carry them deeper into ignorance. If you study the Vedas from the wrong source, then instead of that becoming purifying, that will become putrefying. You know what putrefying means? That means which causes to rot. It will cause you to rot. Big Vedic scholar and going to hell because don't have the attitude of devotion to Krishna. So if one has the attitude of devotion to Krishna, he goes beyond the consciousness of friend and enemy. He sees everyone as friend. Vasundhaiva kutumbakam. He sees everyone as his family member. Generally we are interested, our sense gratification, we expand to that of our family members. That I'm working for my family. People think this is very noble to work for your family. I'm doing my duty for my family. But it's extended sense gratification. Or I'm doing my duty for my country. All glories to our country. Yes, our wonderful country. But this is also just one kind of extended sense gratification. Why should you be so much thinking Slovenia is great, let us work for Slovenia? Because you, in this life, happen to be born in this country. Everyone thinks their country is the best. Even if it's a poor country with no money, everyone thinks our country is the best. It must be the best because I was born in it. It's just an extended sense gratification, that's all. So a devotee goes beyond this and sees everyone is a friend because everyone is a devotee of Krishna. But some, if not many, are acting outside the consciousness of Krishna. Therefore a devotee, although ultimately seeing everyone as his friends, for preaching he makes some distinction. Ishvare tadadineshu banisheshu dvishachu cha prema maitri kripo peksha yakaroti samadhyama. The middle level devotee or preacher, he distinguishes. There is God, we should love him. There are his devotees, we should make friendship with them. With the non-devotees, we say everyone is our friend. That doesn't mean that we relate with the non-devotees in a friendly platform on their terms. That we'll make friends with them. That means we'll go to their parties and watch TV with them. Now, the friendliness of a devotee towards non-devotees is expressed in a different way by being kind to them, by preaching Krishna consciousness to them. And those who are out and out envious, avoid them. That is the best way to be friendly to an envious person. If someone is powerful enough, he may even deliver the envious. But those who are not so powerful, they will avoid the out-and-out demons, so that they don't make more offenses. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is so magnanimous that even the hardened demons, stalwart demons, Prabhupada used to say, even they can be purified by the Harinam Sankirtan movement. Just like we go out chanting in the streets the names of Krishna, and those who are innocent means they're not against Krishna consciousness, they'll say, oh, very nice. They'll become, by appreciating it. Prabhupada said, just by appreciating that, then they make a start in devotional service. Even if they don't know what it is, why this philosophy, they just think, oh, that's nice. That's the beginning in devotional life. But those who are of envious mentality, they will run away, blocking their ears. They don't like to, oh, how horrible. You see, there are so many sounds. There's the sounds of the traffic, which is louder, big trucks. From some cafe, there'll be sounds of pounding rock music. And that they don't mind that. But when they hear, ching, 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 Hare Krishna, oh, they run away, they become disturbed. But they already heard the chanting. They're already purified against their desire. This is how the devotees are kind, even to the hardcore demons, that even against their will, we will go in public and chant Hare Krishna, and they will hear it. And even if they, even if they are against that, even if they don't like it, and they have some offensive mentality, we hate this chanting, we don't want to hear it, still, the purification will be there. They'll, for their offensive attitude, they'll have to suffer. That's true. But by hearing that, that will enter their consciousness. That will enter their consciousness. So when the effect of the offense goes away, then the effect of the purification will start to manifest. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large, because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. The Sankirtan movement is the real way to be friendly to everyone. It's the greatest welfare activity. Now this Mother Teresa in Calcutta, so much appreciated by the people of the world for her magnanimous welfare activities. But actually, what is she doing? I don't know if people know what she's doing. Well, she has a leper colony in Calcutta. So people who get leprosy can go there, although there's still quite a lot of lepers right out on the streets. And another thing she has, the idea is to help the poor people in Calcutta. So you think that Mother Teresa's made her homes and now there's no poor people in Calcutta? There's still hundreds and thousands, literally, of poor people in Calcutta living in houses made of garbage which blow away when the cyclone comes. So she's helping the poor, for which she's... But what is that help? She has her homes and her workers, they go out into the streets of Calcutta and they find someone who's old and sick and dying, and they bring them to their home so they can die in Mother Teresa's home. Now, all their life they lived on the street, but when they're about to die, take them to the home so they can die comfortably. And if they get better in her home, put them back out on the street so they die comfortably. But anyway, what does that help them? They're going to hell without knowledge of Krishna, so it doesn't actually help them. And even if you think she's helping, what is their help? Someone lived all their life on the street, and then for the last 1 week of their life, they can die in our home, and they can make a statistic. We helped so many, one more person. And there are still, for all her help, there are still hundreds of thousands of poor people in Calcutta. And even if she made the poor people not poor, even if she had some kalpa vriksha, she could shake it and money would come off from the tree, that wouldn't benefit people either. So in all respects, she's not helping anybody in any way, but so much praise, oh, helping people, doing so much to help people. People don't know what help is. Help means to help people to come to Krishna. Therefore the devotees, they're actually welfare workers. Our movement is a relief movement, giving relief to the people suffering in the fire of material existence by giving them knowledge of Krishna. But people are so much ignorant, they don't appreciate, they don't realize how much they're being helped. Just like a child has to be injected. The child is screaming, they don't want to inject them anyway. So that's for the child's benefit, even though it seems painful. So we're preaching, don't eat meat, don't drink, no illicit, and the thing, this is very painful. What a nasty thing they're preaching. To give up all the principles on which our life stands. We're working hard to develop our modern civilization so that we can benefit more people with increased standards of meat-eating, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex. And these people are coming and preaching against it. Very painful if we tell them. What would I have to do to join your movement? And Prabhupada, one newspaper reporter, he said, it's very simple. You give up illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. Really? Well, thank you very much. I'll see you later. They're not so interested to join. They think it's very painful. But actually, it may seem painful to them, just like when someone has intoxication habit, smoking habit. If you stop him from smoking, he'll feel, very uncomfortable. Or someone's got this heroin addiction habit, then if you don't allow them to take that, there's that withdrawal symptoms. They feel very bad without it. But actually, although they think that it will feel good to inject themselves with heroin, They're killing themselves by that. It's not doing them good. So the pain of withdrawing from that intoxication habit, from that addiction, that is actually beneficial to them. So it may seem painful to the non-devotees to have to give up their material attachments, but actually it's beneficial for them. And just like the doctor, he gives some medicine, the child is screaming, doesn't want to take the medicine, gives some sweet, and that will cover the bitter taste of the medicine. So for materialistic people, it is very bitter to have to give up meat-eating, gambling, illicit sex, intoxication, nonsense TV programs, and all these things. But we give something very nice tasting, nice prasadam, chanting, singing, festivals, very joyful process. Not simply, of course, it's not only singing and dancing, there are some principles to be followed also. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's moment is basically very joyful. Paramakarana pahundi. Their path is simply joyful. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. There's only one condition. Vishayacharya Sri Rashe Majiya Mukhe Bolo Hari Hari. The only condition is that you have to give up sense gratification. But it can be given up very easily by a devotee who is experiencing the higher taste of Krishna consciousness. Just like people are surprised. Oh, you don't watch TV, you don't go to cinema, you don't go to parties. What do you do? They would think life without these things is very horrible. But we have our own parties. Every day, starting 4:30 in the morning, singing and dancing. And then later on we have nice food distribution. This is what parties are, isn't it? All people come together, they sing and they dance, and then they talk with each other. So we talk with each other, Machita Mangata Prana, Bodhyanta Paraspram, Katyantas Chamanita, Tushanticha Manticha. Devotees, they talk together about Krishna. Otherwise, what will the Kamis talk? They tell some jokes, they tell some stories, they discuss the latest political maneuvers. Party means boring. Therefore they drink, and then they feel this isn't boring. It's very nice to get drunk. Then they sing and dance, only after getting drunk. But we're singing and dancing without getting drunk. And we're so much liking it that we get up early in the morning to sing and dance. Can you imagine? I was surprised when I first came to Hare Krishna Temple in London and they got me up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And what are they going to do at this time? And I saw they're singing and dancing. So I realized this is something really special, because no one gets up at this time in the morning. And even if anyone gets up, they get up to go to work or milk the cows or something. But these devotees are singing and dancing. And why? For Krishna. So Krishna, he must be someone very powerful, very attractive. People are so much concerned to rise and chant and dance. So this is real friendship, to give this movement of Krishna consciousness by which people can be happy. Prabhupada many times used to say that the only mission of the Vaishnavas is to make others happy. This name Prahlad, here it's given Praharad. It means the same thing. It means very happy. So a devotee, he's very happy. As Prahlad Maharaj said, I'm very happy, but I only have one distress. That Maya Sukhaya Bharamudvahito Vimurha. These fools and rascals are not your devotees. That is my one unhappiness. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj, he preached despite all difficulties. So that preaching, that is the best friendly activity for all living beings. Of course, in this country, you're very lucky that you don't have the representatives of the Hiranyakashipu here very much. There's no pressure against this movement. Now in Russia, again, it's just either in Russia, there's always some pressure. And sometimes it becomes more and sometimes it's less. Now again, now the government is again trying to close down our movement. So some places, they're more demoniac than others by nature. So you don't have that kind of problem here. So you can very happily execute Krishna consciousness, preach Krishna consciousness, and bring others to Krishna consciousness. You can try to do that. I see that we have a nice bus there. It's very nice. Prabhupada loved these buses. Prabhupada's dream. He said, I want to see. And he said, my dream is that I will see so many buses. He was talking about in America. They're crisscrossing the whole country, going all over the country. One bus here, another bus there. Another. Prabhupada liked, of course, our culture, Krishna conscious culture, it's not bus culture, it's more bullock cart culture. But in the modern age, this the way of life, so we can always, we can adopt that also. We can also adopt bullock cart culture. You can also have bullock cart programs side by side. That's a little slower. That's also a good, it's also a good way to, very good way to preach. People are very impressed when they see that. And you go to places where the bus just goes vroom right past. But in the bullock cart, you go slowly, slowly, meet different people. So anyway, buses, bullock carts, book bags, anyway, mudangas, cartels, going out among the people. This is the Hare Krishna movement. That means we always have to be moving, not sitting still, rotting. We should be moving out among the people and moving them to come towards Krishna. This is anandam buddhi vardhanam, ever-increasing happiness. This is real friendship. Preaching Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Is there any question? Is there, just a second. Prabhupada used to take questions about the class, generally. It's something you can connect it to one small point in the class.
It's necessary that everyone who joins in this part of the class, which is very innovative,
Madhurya Sampradaya? No, Gaurya Vaishnava Sampradaya, that's what it's called. In the Gaurya Vaishnava, you see associates of Lord Chaitanya, Murari Gupta was a devotee of Hanuman. He was Hanuman, he was a devotee of Lord Ramachandra. So it's not that all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya are all in Madhurya Rasa. All the followers of Nityananda Prabhu, they're all in Sakya Rasa. So it's all the rasas are there. Shachi Mata and Jagannath Mishra, that's all your rasa. Not only Madhurya. They're all there. Anyway, in our Krishna conscious movement, we're trying to bring people to Krishna. Later on, what is their position? That will develop. But first they have to come to this position, as mentioned in this purport. Jivesvarup Vai Krishna Nitya Das. Everyone is the servant of Krishna. So let us preach to people to revive their service attitude towards Krishna. And all the rasas, they're all based on service anyway. So let us preach this point. Otherwise, what are they going to understand? They're watching TV and taking intoxication. What are they going to understand about this Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya? This, as you say, is beyond them. Let's preach Bhagavad Gita as it is. Let them understand this first point. We're all servants of Krishna. Krishna will look after. What is, as someone becomes advanced, that Krishna will look after. So exactly how they develop in their eternal form, that we'll see. Let us get to that point first of all. Let us get free from lust, greed, anger, envy, illusion. Then we may start thinking about what is my eternal position. Not that am I a peacock or am I a gopi or what am I? You're a servant of Krishna. That is our eternal position. Let us understand that clearly. Then everything else will become clear. Is there any other question? So it's good to have a lot of service, have so much service that you don't have time to indulge your mind in its demoniac propensities. Jump and chant in kirtan. That will drive away demoniac mentality. Yeah, we all have demoniac mentality. We're all coming from a demoniac background. But anyway, we have to serve Krishna. What else? Does that mean because we have demoniac mentality that we should leave this movement and again, eat meat, drink wine, have illicit sex, and gamble. At least with our intelligence, we should understand this is all useless. Therefore, I have to serve Krishna. So let me go on with my service. And as for the mind, 100 times in the morning, beat with shoes. And 900 times, beat with a stick. Just, your mind is saying, well, what's wrong with intoxication? Beat it. Shut up. Do some service. Chant Hare Krishna. Don't indulge the mind. The mental functions, thinking, feeling, and willing. So some thought comes into the mind, but then if you cultivate that thought, the thought comes, let me go away from Krishna consciousness. Then you start considering, well, what about that? Maybe it's not such a bad. No. And as soon as the thought comes, just kick it out. Get some big boots and kick. And go do some service to Krishna. The mind can become purified when we think about the welfare of all living beings. Then our mind will start to think. Instead of thinking how I can enjoy, we think different ways how we can spread Krishna consciousness, how we can bring others to Krishna consciousness. We should study these books and think how I read this, how I met such a person, how should I preach to him? Maybe if I meet such a person again, how should I preach to them? Absorb our minds in this philosophy of Krishna consciousness. We have so much material for the mind. Our minds are now eating. Our mind is festering on this garbage of materialistic ideas. So better we fill our minds with the Shastra. Prabhupada's given us so many books, so many points. And then we can discuss these things also. That will cultivate our absorption in Shastra when we discuss this with other devotees. What is stated here? What in this verse you see, just like this word comes up here. That comes up in another, same word comes up somewhere. So like this, discuss Shastra, become absorbed in that. This will cure the demoniac mind. They were also preaching within Vrindavan, they moved among the Brajavasis, but they were particularly, they were doing the foundation work for the Sampradaya. They were writing books. They were preaching by writing books, and they trained disciples who they sent out to preach. So that was their specific service. Everyone has a different service. Once in Vrindavan, there were two sannyasis, and one of them was the temple president, but he wasn't very competent for being temple president. Actually, he had the knack of just making chaos. He was not a good manager at all. And there was another devotee who had been the temple president before. They were both sannyasis. And actually, Prabhupada wanted him to again become the temple president. So this one sannyasi, he already had a traveling bus. But then when he came to Vrindavan, he thought, let me be the town president. And he kind of got his way in and became town president and was causing chaos. So Prabhupada told him, you've got a bus, go and preach. You're a sannyasi. You shouldn't spend more than 3 days in any place. If you come to a temple, you can stay for 3 days maximum. Stay on the road and preach. And then he turned to the other sannyasi and said, you have a New Zealand passport, therefore you don't need a visa for India. Therefore I want you to stay here and be the temple president. You should stay in Vrindavan and never leave. And he just told one sannyasi, because you're a sannyasi, you should always move. And he told another sannyasi, stay here. So actually, then, what does that mean? That everyone has a different function to perform within the Sankirtan movement. And of course, sometimes the temple president, he may also travel and preach, but generally, he's overseeing the day-to-day affairs. Everyone has different things to do, but the point, of course, our movement must be moving in the towns and villages. That's very important. And more than having many, many temples, if we have devotees going out, traveling, preaching, like that, that's very good. But it's some devotees, if everyone's out, then who's going to stay in the temple? The temple is also meant for people to come and preach to and train up new devotees. But the point when we say Hare Krishna movement means we shouldn't be stagnant. It means we should always be active in Krishna's service, doing something. Don't rot, don't vegetate. Then the mind will give so many demoniac ideas. If we're not active in Krishna's service, devotees should always be active. Sometimes people think becoming a devotee is just escape from the world and just do nothing. In Oriya language, in India, there's one language, Oriya. So the word for a lazy person is Matoa. It means someone who lives in a mat, which means a temple. Because the idea is if you're useless and good for nothing, then you join a temple and you sit, you do a little bhajan, and someone brings some rice, you cook it and offer it to Krishna and you take prasad. And that's your whole activity. And I've seen many mats where they have a little bhajan in the morning, then they go out begging food, they come back, they cook it, they offer it, they eat it, they go to sleep, they wash the pots, they cook again, they offer it, they eat it, they do a little bhajan and go to sleep, and that's their whole day. Matoa, simply becoming fat in the name of, the Prabhupada called that transcendental fraud. And he warned our devotees that you don't do like that. Don't, if you, it's actually dangerous sometimes if you have, if you have too much money, devotees, then, take it easy, better don't have money. Whatever money you get, immediately spend it. Print books, build temples, get buses. Don't, better be in debt, then you have to do some work. But generally temples, when they're founded in India, someone donates the land, builds the temple, and gives some land, usually